Anne Crawley with Talkback on BBC Radio Ulster.
Welcome back. 7 minutes past one. You're listening to Talk Back with me, William Crawley. Taking your calls, of course, 0303 80 55 55. We want to talk about references at this point. I mean, you tend to think of references when you go for a job, don't you? You apply for a job and someone gives you a reference, and it may say some things about your character or your ability, your competence. All kinds of things might be in a reference. But what about a court case? What about a court case involving charges of rape, where the person who has been charged with rape and found guilty of rape is then supported in some way in the court with references about their good character? Character references are sometimes included after a trial when a judge is determining a sentence. Should that be the case? I mean, ask yourself the question. If someone's just been found guilty in a court of rape, why are we even talking about good character here? That's an important question, isn't it? Emma Jane Dorian from Rape Crisis Northern Ireland is one of those urging an end to that practice.
Well, the reason why we launched this campaign to abolish good character was we feel that they are re-traumatising and unnecessary and proving someone's not a rapist. We feel that good character tells us nothing about whether someone had consent or had reasonable belief that they had consent. Rape happens in the absence of consent, not the absence of good character.
Let's talk about it with you, 0303 80 55 55. You can text questions, comments as well to 81771. From Women's Aid, their regional services manager here, Sonia McMullen, is with us in the studio, along with Paul Dugan, who's a solicitor from the Belfast firm John J. Rice and Company. Good afternoon. Welcome to both of you. Can I come to you first of all, Paul? What's the point of a reference in a case like this?
Well, it depends at what stage the reference is given. So Emma Jane was speaking there about references being used when somebody is accused and the trial process is ongoing, and good character references can be a part of the criminal justice process at some stage. In your introduction, you talked about references after someone has been convicted, and I suppose to a degree that has negated some of the points that Emma Jane made. The issue as to whether they're a rapist, if that's what we're talking about or not, has been determined, and therefore you're left with a professional judge who is bringing vast experience to a very complicated process and can evaluate and attribute sufficient weight or not to whatever information or material is placed before them.
When determining what the sentence would be.
Yes. So
a good character reference may be used at that point as a mitigation?
Well, personal mitigation may include good character. It may include good character, for example, that is defined by the fact that someone has never been convicted of an offence before and this is their first conviction. Mm. So that certainly would be an element of personal mitigation. If that personal mitigation is supported by people in the community who want to speak about charity work or other things that they have done at a particular time, or they were previously employed in a very important job that provided some value to the community.
Yeah.
Of course, all of those things are hugely relevant.
And it gives you a fuller picture.
It gives a full picture, bearing in mind that that judge who is conducting that sentencing hearing has heard the trial, right, has heard the evidence, is respecting the verdict of the jury, which was a verdict of guilty, yeah, and is now proceeding to the sentencing exercise. So I don't subscribe to the view that can distort the process, because you're dealing with a professional judge who is fully cognizant of the things that can be factored in and the things that cannot.
So this is more information, not less, and you leave it to a well-qualified judge to come to a conclusion in terms of sentencing, Sonia.
Well, I suppose as a representative of Women's Aid, we're coming from the other viewpoint and really would be calling for good character references not to be used specifically in rape trials. It really is the re-victimisation of victims and survivors. And as an organisation who supports many women who do go through the court process, it should be more trauma-informed. It's a form of discrimination. And we've been talking a lot about the issue of violence against women and girls over the last number of weeks. Sadly, again, in the aftermath of another tragic murder of Natalie McNally. Mm. And so we're having these conversations
solutions, which we welcome. But again, our criminal justice system at the moment is fractured. We have huge delays. You know, you could be waiting 2-3 years before your case comes to court. A lot happens and a lot changes.
Yeah.
And character can be built within those 2-3 years. And Paul, you talked about voluntary work and charitable work and building up this case of, mm-hmm. you know, I've changed. Whenever, if we had less delays and cases were coming through quicker, you know, more people wouldn't be withdrawing out of the process either.
Can we just dwell for a moment on this term re-victimisation? It's a very important term. And just walk it me through this in terms of the dynamics. The trial has happened in this particular case. The accused has been found guilty. The judge is hearing maybe a psychological report, other kinds of assessments. And as part of that, references, good character references about their previous life before this terrible thing happened are also brought in to give a fuller picture. Take me through the process. How is that re-victimising the victim?
Well, the whole criminal justice system is very re-victimising. Whenever you deal and speak to women, as I do within our work in Women's Aid, it isn't a very victim-friendly place to be in. And we really are calling for the whole judicial system to become more trauma-informed. And we really feel that if people have a greater understanding of the trauma and the impact of trauma on individuals, it will help everyone from the legal representatives through to the judiciary as well. And it's something we are calling on and always call on is in relation to the training of all legal representatives and the judiciary too, in relation to that trauma, to be able to explain better and be aware of, you know, how difficult it is for someone to go back into that court process, to have to review and go through all of this again, to be challenged about their own character, you know, and their own previous behaviours as well. So we really think and would be calling on a more trauma-informed, victim-focused criminal justice system here in Northern Ireland.
And then to hear their abuser described in terms of their positive traits. So that were the issue of the day. Gerald's in Belfast. Hi, Gerald. Welcome.
Hello.
What do you think, Gerald?
Well, I think we're getting straying too far away from the fundamentals of justice, which is that everybody has a right to a fair trial. Your previous contributor said that we need to have a more victims-focused approach, but this misses the point. Everybody is innocent until they're proven guilty, and everybody has a right to a fair trial, including the use of a character reference.
So let's focus on this a minute, Gerald. We're talking about someone who's had a fair trial and they've been found guilty.
Okay.
And at this point in the process, then someone might bring a character reference to say, perhaps, I don't know, this may be mitigating. This person's never done this kind of thing before. That's different to someone who's done it 20 times before, right? Is that relevant?
Well, I'm not familiar with the legal system, but if there's grounds for accepting a character reference, then I don't see why not. And I'm not too sure if this should. I would think it would like to have to apply to all aspects of crime, not just cases of sexual assault or rape. But just on a general point, I'm just concerned that we're getting away from the fundamentals of justice, which is that everybody is innocent until they're proven guilty, and this suggestion that we should have a more victims-focused approach does not sit easily with me.
Thank you very much, Gerald. Do you want to respond, Sonia?
Well, I suppose we want more people to go through the criminal justice system, and something like this is a real deterrent. We already have a fear, and people have a fear that they're not going to be believed. You know, whenever they come to organisations like ourselves, we accept, we believe, we acknowledge what's happening for them. And this is why so many people do withdraw. And, you know, if you've suffered a serious sexual assault, you know, you've already gone through the worst thing that possibly can happen to you in relation to your trauma, in relation to trying to rebuild your life and move forward and everything. So this is, you know, not helping anybody come forward. And we always have, you know, we've low sentences, we've people withdrawing statements, we have so much commentary in relation to sexual violence cases and the court process and how difficult it is. We don't want to put people off. We want more people to use the criminal justice system to come forward.
Jan Winton's there too. Hi, Jan. Jan's from Nexus. and as a manager there, Early Intervention and Prevention Services Manager with Nexus. How are you doing, Jen? Good afternoon to you. Good to have you with us.
Hi, William.
I think what Gerald was getting at there is he wants a justice-focused approach to justice rather than simply a victims-focused approach to justice. And this is sometimes described, Jan, as people saying, you know, when you say of someone who makes an allegation, a complaint, I believe you, that can be dangerous. And we've seen that in England with some cases where the person bringing those allegations ended up in jail for a very long time themselves in a number of cases because some allege, and I'm not alleging this, I'm just putting the argument, some allege that that victim's focused approach skewed justice. What do you say?
Well, I mean, I would sort of disagree with that. I think there are, I'm going to repeat exactly sort of what Sonia has said and reiterate what she said, that our court system currently is not victim focused enough. And when we're talking about sort of the use of character reference after there has been a conviction of rape, you know, Nexus, we support men and women and children daily who have experienced sexual assault and sexual abuse. And the fact that being believed, as Sonia has said as well, is key to anyone coming forward. And if it's known that character references, and especially if the alleged abuser, or in this case the convicted abuser, is well known in the community, has established career, it very much reinforces that power and control that they will have over the victim and also over others in the community, and completely disempowers the victim even further. And if this is being seen to happen, I mean, it's already very difficult, Sonia said, for people to come forward and report. But allowing a good character reference to impact on the sentencing isn't, in my opinion, justice at all.
Thank you very much, Jan. Paul, what do you make of this language? It's important to say to people, I believe you.
Well, obviously, the criminal justice process is about getting to the truth in terms of the allegation that has been brought. As Sonia will know, and those that work in that charity sector, they are known as complainants until the point upon which their allegation has been proven. Mm-hmm. And when a person is convicted, then they are quite properly identified in the system as a victim. And I think we need to be careful in this discussion, important as it is, to be conflating a whole host of things. We are talking about character references, good character references being used in a sentencing exercise. But in part of the narrative, we're throwing in things like the attack on the complainant's character during the trial process. Well, that's not guaranteed. There's rules around that. And the judge as the umpire in terms of fairness for everyone. There's a phrase that is used in the criminal justice system. It's the triangulation of interests, the defendant's entitlement to fair trial, society's entitlement to see people properly prosecuted, and the victim complainant entitled to have their truth presented in a court of law and proven. So we just need to be careful that we're not mixing things up at the different stages in the process. And while Sonia says about the re-victimisation of victims as part of that, I think Sir John Gillan, as part of the review that he undertook in particular in relation to serious sexual offending, did try to bring the focus back very much on a victim-centric system. We've had a thing called victim impact statements for years. Mm-hmm. And the victim impact statements, I'm a defence practitioner for 20 years. I have seen a sea change in how our judges are dealing with family members and victims in court when we're at that point, and they do give them maybe not as much focus and as much attention as they as the victims or their family would like, but they do give them appropriate reverence and appropriate respect. And the victim impact statement in that context is the victim's opportunity to speak about how this has impacted on them. And it's about balance. And I cannot say, I'll finish on this, I cannot say that in every case a judge would allow character references to be admitted given the particular circumstances of the case, or if they're raised because a lawyer has to act on instructions. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee that the judge, that's going to be game-changing in terms of their overall determination in terms of the sentence
of
to
the
be
sentence.
Imposed.
Sarah McKeown's also with us. Sarah's also a defence lawyer from McKeown and Company. How are you doing, Sarah? Good afternoon. Good to have you
Hi,
with
William.
Us. Have you ever known of a case where these so-called good character references are introduced during the trial before conviction?
The point of a trial is to determine whether or not the person is guilty or not. And the jury impaneled as the trier of fact will have to decide upon that. It would be very hard to envisage any situation where a good character reference would be held to be have any evidential or probative value, mm-hmm. that a court would actually allow it to be introduced to a trial and put before a jury. The court, as Paul's already mentioned, there are very strict rules about what can be introduced in all cases, and specifically in sexual offences cases, as to what the defence can actually introduce. So the thought that a judge would allow you to put a good character reference somehow as evidence to a jury to try and determine whether or not a factual act took place, whether or not a rape took place, would be very hard to envision that that would ever occur. And when Paul was discussing there the Gillen review, which obviously did bring in quite a considerable amount of changes in respect of how sexual offences are dealt with, it also introduced an agency called SOLO, which is the Sexual Offences Liaison Officers, where there are now qualified, experienced criminal lawyers specifically in that agency to give a further voice to the victim, because it was understood that through the probation services and the prosecution and the police that that may get lost slightly in the trial. And that's one of the things the review brought in, to try and give more comfort and more representation to the complainants as they are at that stage, right through until there would be a conviction. So it is, I agree with Paul very much, that this is something about balance. And while the courts and Sir Gillen did look at ways to try and bring a more trauma-focused and victim-focused way, it has to be done in a way that still protects the rights of a defendant to have a fair trial.
Sarah, what kind of information would be offered to the court in a good character reference?
Before it even gets to
the
court.
At the point of sentencing, at that point.
But before it would even get to a judge, if the defendant were to gather up character references, they would go to the legal team. The legal team would determine firstly and advise the client as to whether or not it should even be put forward to the judge. But say there was a reference that the legal team felt was relevant and maybe talked about previous good character or what the person had done, maybe to assist in society, etc. It gets put forward to a judge, along with the judge who, as Paul said, has already heard the case. The judge who has given a full reminder and outline of the facts. There will be a victim impact report or statement, as Paul has mentioned, which can actually consist of a psychiatric or psychological report. So it's not as if that's undermined. There could also be psychological or psychiatric evidence on the defendant. There will also be a probation report. There will also be an assessment of dangerousness. There will also be a host of case law giving guidance on the sentencing. And then there may also be a reference. So what the court may...
So it's a lot of information. Given all that you've described there, why would you need a good character reference with all that?
Because it is our legal duty to make sure a person is properly represented and that we put the entire case in mitigation
before
the court.
What would be in the good character reference that wouldn't be in that battery of other information?
Well, it might be people that knew the defendant previously that didn't have that.
I worked with him on a children's camp in Malawi in 1995, that sort of thing.
No, I think you're being a bit flippant about the right of a defendant to have a fair trial. If you have someone that is being sentenced, the judge, as Paul said, will carry out a very complicated sentencing exercise, and they will decide what weight is actually attached to those references. And with all the information that's before the court, especially in a case such as rape, the likelihood that there is a high amount of weight attached to your reference is probably unlikely. But what you're trying to do is give the judge a full picture of the person they are sentencing, so as that they can effectively and informed decision carry out that sentencing exercise.
So, Paul, I mean, I'm not asking you, obviously, either of you or Sarah, to give us details of your own cases, but just so that our audience understands the kind of information that might be in a character reference. Could it be, for example, the local priest or Presbyterian minister says, you know, that they were a Sunday school teacher in my church for 20 years, were entirely reliable, that sort of thing?
It's background information.
Could be that.
It's background information. It's intended to, you know, perhaps their work history, you know, they got on well with their colleagues, they were punctual, there's no disciplinary issues. It might be, as I said, they've done charity work.
They've just
work.
Been convicted of rape.
But first of all, the person who has been convicted may not accept that they've been convicted.
Very punctual rapist.
Well, but they may not accept that they are a convicted rapist, and they may have genuine grounds for appeal. Not every case that results in a conviction will be upheld. But the point is, it is that defendant's entitlement to put material before the judge, and the judge at that stage, and that's all we're talking about when it's post-conviction, the judge will decide what weight, if any, to attach to it. And I would argue, William, that any judge who has sat through a long trial, who has respected, as everyone does, the verdict of the jury, which means the jury accepted what the victim said happened to them, mm-hmm. Is not going to be blindsided or give undue attention right. to a reference that they were a very punctual employee sure. or they worked in the Sunday school or whatever.
They just have that another piece of information. They can choose what amount of weight to give it. Sonia, it's about giving more information to the court, not less, so that you are more likely to get a fuller picture of the person who's just been found guilty of rape. That would not in any way eviscerate the sentence, but it gives more information to the court. Your response?
It could give more information to the court, but, you know, it's that assessment of risk. If we look at sexual offence, if we look at domestic abuse, you know, it's a repeat offence. And certainly that would be some of the concerns we would have. It's great to hear of all the good work going on there. But, you know, only in the last few months, we had a judge locally in the case of a serial perpetrator making a statement, you know, to say that he should find, the judge, Judge Sherrard said that the offender should find a wife or partner and get a family and home. You know, it was really, really horrifying, and we condemned those comments delivered by the judge in that case. And it was in Tyrone in a serious sexual offence case. So this is the reality of what is going on here in Northern Ireland. These statements that are being made by judges within cases, you know, whenever women are coming forward to seek redress through the criminal justice system, it's just going to push them back.
But I think in fairness, in relation to that particular case, the Lady Chief Justice's office were very quick afterwards to issue a statement, and I think all of the judges were required to attend for specific training, which took place just before Christmas. So, I accept the point that has been made, but it is a sentencing exercise that is carried out by a professional lawyer who is experienced in all of the issues that need to be addressed and is guided by case law, is guided by statute, is guided by precedent in order to reach a fair verdict, a fair sentence. And if the sentence is deemed to be manifestly excessive, then the accused has a right to appeal. If the sentence is too lenient, then the Public Prosecution Service can appeal in certain circumstances.
Sonia.
Yes, we welcome that. We welcome the Lady Chief Justice intervening, and that training did come from that. But isn't it sad that it had to take something like that in a statement and such commentary and outrage for our judges to go through some training? You know, we have been knocking on the door of our judiciary for years and are yet to be welcomed in to do any training. So,
well, Sir John Gillan, it was again part of his recommendations that he advised and recommended training. So
you're on the same page on that last note. So we'll thank you both very much. Thanks to all of you. That's it.